Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Another reading of the research paper as it goes along. So perhaps it's worthwhile listening to it. Obviously not listening worth going back and listening to earlier versions. And I think you'll get sort of the gist of just the sheer effort required to actually break the drought and scale sort of new frontiers. So if you're in research, you're writing to the research community on a research bounds. If you're sort of in a new area, you sort of don't know where you're going. And so this compromise between the brevity and succinctness and exactness of research writing versus the slightly different writing picked up for education purposes. Now, and obviously if you read research papers, it does your mind in. In this case, I've read Things You Must See Before You Die by Astro Bob, and just the way that he expresses things sort of permeates in your brain. So I haven't got, you know, your full brain working. It's sort of gone in one section and it's sort of percolating through to others. So I'm gradually improving. And it's not that I've learned how to do it. I've sort of become sensitized to say, this is just not cutting it. So let's go through. Now, new title here. Understanding Today's IoTs with a Hands-on Working Model. Peter Colin Hill, abstract, the same as it was, a Wi-Fi battery-powered sensor module for individual student uses described. The increase in volume of concurrent data streamed is intended to move the balance from direct instruction to active discovery to aid the learning of connected properties. Now, restructure that. Yes, my hit for restructuring. Introduction. We are currently developing a small transparent suitcase containing 40 sensors as a hands-on introductory experience. It streams data to the internet, but unlike a person-centered user, there is no keyboard or screen. It is an example of a thing that is connected to the internet. This phenomena, where there are lots of things, has been dubbed the Internet of Things and has attracted the TLA of IoT. So TLA is a three-letter acronym. Yeah. In the classroom, students will open the, quote, in quotes, utility box, UB, to find live sensors continuously outputting to a website. Typically, the first question is asked... I should get rid of ears there. What's in the box? It is the subsequent questions that tease out a deeper understanding. This article aims to provide a resource for teachers to read over and perhaps check back on when answering those in-depth questions. So that's an important thing that it's for teachers, but we're not expecting teachers to follow everything, just to get the general gist, as this is a resource. And this is all, you know, miles and miles away from, you know, your difference between writing for research and writing for teachers. Okay, heading, working training model of the real thing. So, I suppose a functional training model might be better rather than working. Doesn't make sense, you know, the model, it's functionally literal. Realistic, you can't say realistic for the real thing. Faithful, I suppose the word faithful training model of the real thing. Faithful real thing. The UB is a working model 5 times larger in each linear dimension than sensor to cloud station a sensor to cloud station you might expect to currently place in a factory or home. The UB model takes up 125 times greater volume than a unit purchased, for instance, online. Unlike the real thing, a student can pull out sensors and put them on an experiment and see the multiple variables change together. change, yeah, I suppose change the game. The ultimate aim is to build confidence in understanding and using the real thing. So I suppose when it comes to using the real thing, I think when... Now, all these things I should have my pen and paper running out, but perhaps some of it will come through to me. Planning ahead and placing temperature, mass and pH sensors as an experiment is built may make some concepts more accessible. Take the example in which the pH of a base is measured while the acid is measured. The amount added will be measured as an increased mass of the mixture. The rapid rise first may plateau at a pH level and then increase. This is a common action of a buffer, and without accessible instrumentation, historically, such phenomena is rarely introduced. I suppose rarely touched upon might be weird. I think touched upon. The simple addition of another equipment offering alone may have a limited impact. Having an insightful teacher guide will dramatically improve the confidence and depth of understanding. So this is the reason for it. A for real utility box. So we're now going to start to describe the for real stuff. So it's not the, the features I'm describing. The important thing is, as I'm describing, is that a particular feature of the utility box, or that's a real thing? For real is an informal or colloquial way of describing the real world thing the model is like. It might be a toy car rolling down a ramp, unlike a real world car, which we can assume most people have detailed knowledge of and hence requires no explanation. We'll step through the many layers of ideas behind a real world UB. Yeah. Or I suppose not real world Internet of Things sensor things. Okay, so just working on that. I'll shoot this through. In 1926, Texas Instruments, a US electronics manufacturer, so it should be, I may swap that round. In 1926, a US electronics manufacturer, drumroll, Texas Instruments, released the CC2650 sensor tag. Humidity, ambient and non-current temperature, microphone, light, pressure, 9-axis accelerometer. Values measured by the instruments on board the sensor tag are streamed in real time to the user's website. Okay, Rupi, how was today? I gave the guinea pigs extra water. Is that okay? Damn. I'll go in and say hello to my son in a short while. The sensor tag is powered by a button cell battery, 1 year lifetime, and comes in a 14 by 50 by 67 millimeter package. The term tags refers to a smallish box of electronics that can communicate information. Many people have an e-tag fitted in their cars to pay tolls. A tile is the name of a device with a smaller footprint, typically 2 by 14 by 14. That's, you know, off the internet. You might have a Bluetooth located tile on your keys to locate them using an app on your mobile phone. Okay, we can just read basic engineering on that. Texas Instruments' description of their sensor tag cuts through to the ease of use of their product out of the box. Quote, connect to the cloud with Bluetooth low energy and get your sensor tag online in 3 minutes. So this is the fundamental thing, is that the internet jargon is hard to unpack. Okay, in context, in this context of communication with the educational audience, probably Anne, some of whom are not technical, we will unpack some of the technology associated and associated terminology. So the word unpack, scaffolding, it's all educational things. Sensors are purpose-built machines that respond to some physical property, temperature, humidity, pressure, sound, etc. This response can be measured, or using less formal language, seen. For a bulb thermometer, the temperature can be read by looking at the level of the mercury against the scale. strictly speaking, you measure the thermometer's response and infer the temperature. Okay, this is 101 science education. Now, the strange thing is that experienced teachers just forget all about this. To measure humidity, two thermometers are read, one with a dry bulb, the other one with a wet one, wrapped in a moist cloth. Okay, this is just making it all so clear. So, in teaching, you introduce one concept and then you build it up to the next. In dry conditions, the wet one is cooled by evaporation, referring to a conversion table allows humidity to be inferred with a smaller temperature drop on the wet bulb, meaning lower humidity. Higher humidity. Forgive the English fucked up there. Hopefully I'll get in and repair it. In an electronic sensor, the physical property that is to be measured impacts the condition of an electrical component that varies the current or potential difference across, in formal language, voltage in a circuit. I'm just going to say voltage. It's just in the language. Sorry, guys. That one's got away to the keeper. That roux has burst out of its containment package and it's just bounding all over the place, the word voltage. For instance, 0 degrees may generate 0 volts, 50 degrees 0.3 and 100 degrees 0.6. On an output wire that tells us or signals the temperature. This wire is known as the signal wire, a signal for which its size tells us how much is called an analog signal. Several steps have to be added before a sensor spits out the ones and zeros that communicates the size of the signal digitally. A sensor puts a sensor that puts out zeros and ones is called a digital sensor. A zero is 0 volts, while I've got to put a big V, while a one is 3.3 or 5 volts, depending on the type of material used to make up the electronics. The conversion, I suppose the type of material used. The conversion of an analog signal to a digital signal is called A to D, and it's performed by an A to D chip. The precision of the chip is described as the number of bits. A 1-bit A to D converting analog signal of 0.635 volts in the range of 0 to 1 would read 1, telling you a signal is somewhere between the range of 0.5 and 1 volts. The temperature sensor chip used in the UB is 12-bit, or 1 part in 4069, and this is more or less typical. This unique identifier, is a factory set 64-bit serial number, so every sensor not only gives the temperature, but who is sending it. A sinister side of this may be that if you were given a hairdryer, for this example, consider the year is 2015, you might not know it is connected to a cloud giving the sensor's serial number and the IP address. You may need to move somewhere else, and you could be located. Okay, so this is just to teach us like a mezzanine floor that teachers mightn't be able to get this, but you know, they're worried, and we can, and if they're worried, they're going to stop listening. So say, look, yeah, I've just got to, it's just addressing their fear and keeping them in the zone. The information in the above paragraph is perhaps too complicated to communicate to a children's audience, I have to deem. The following story is an allegory of how digital sensor works and has rest low entry levels. Now, I've got to say, I'll put a rest level in that last paragraph of, I can't understand. Oh, but it could be dangerous. Oh, I think I'll, you know, give them something to understand, they can understand, and there's that sort of calmness. Sort of like people learning to skate. They can't skate well, but if they're falling over, it's no good. It can, however, reinforce understanding by when the reader evaluates how effectively it explains the sensing and digitation. Yeah, so let's Yeah. I haven't said that very well. Now, yeah, Michael reading this has said a different writing of it. So it's the Night Kittens of Umbulu. Now, I sort of like that in terms of it's not, it really has to go back to your phonics reading. So you know, boo, loo, they're all, and they're just basically crazy words put together. So I like it the way it's written, and it's not written, it's written phonetically. The Grand Hotel is a splendid building that stands on the banks of the Umbulu River. The river runs throughout the mighty Umbulu rainforest. This rainforest is home to the precious Umbulu night kitten. These kittens are very timid and only trust the Umbulu native tribes people. One day, Unatutu, the youngest child in a family of 13, heard a purring sound from deep inside in the jungle. When she was back home that evening with her family, she imitated the sound she had heard, and to her surprise, a night kitten came in the hut and purred with her. Before long, the news has spread to the other 9 villages of Umbulu in the Umbulu rainforest, and the children who could purr in just the right way, sometimes after hours of practice, began to have night kittens visit them. So this is thing. I'll address a question later on. There was great joy and much talk of this wonderful happening. As the tribespeople met along the tracks and in the meadows, they would describe the wondrous events. Unatu purred, her father said proudly, and a little night kitten came in and purred on her lap. That's strange. Our kitten was only the size of a mouse. That's strange. Ours was so big, it could hardly fit through the door. So, just the word strange, strange, strange. Let's go to the Grand Hotel by the river and get to the bottom of this. There were 10 tables in the grand ballroom at the hotel. On each table sat the kitten tamer from the village, while opposite them sat a ranger from Save the Kittens International. They are going to find out the size of all 10 Umbulu chickens and send the information downriver. The river transport was very slow those days, and there were many rapids and sudden waterfalls. Instead, they were going to use the Umbulu drums that could be heard for miles and then relayed. But they had to have a plan to tell the story of what table and size of kitten the child had tamed. So this is what happened. I like that. Okay. On table number one, the ranger had piles of poker chips at doubles of each stack. 1, 2, 4, 6, 16, 64 things. Now, I'll just do some explaining here. The idea is this tension, like you pitch very low, and then pitch very high in a way that the kid wouldn't really care, they wouldn't know, but it would put puts a bit of edge to it. Now, 1, 2, 4, and then is 2, 4 is 8, and to know ahead, so this sort of extends the kid's understanding. The plan was to push a large pile forward. If the child smiled, the kitten was larger than, I should say, the night kitten was larger than 128 poker chips. If they frowned, the ranger would pull back the pile and push the 64 pile forward. It turned out that table's one kitten had a size of 31 poker chips. So the arrangement was 1, 2, 4, 4, 8, 16, up, and 32, 64, 138 back. Or using the up down number code, 5 ones and 3 zeros. And they didn't just ask, as they had to make it into a drum beat. Okay, so drum beat, digital signal. There was one more thing to do to make sure they knew was to make sure they knew what table, so the drum outside the hotel would strike a number at what table it came from. Dot. New sentence. The drum outside the hotel would strike the number of times equal to the table number and wait for the ranger to report and send it upriver. So for one for a drum beat, zero for gaps. The drum outside the hotel went boom, 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 gap, 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 gap. They listened and heard back, boom, boom, boom. 1110001. That's 7 plus 128, the largest number there, so they can see that. That's 135 poker chips. That's a big hit, are you sure? And then they just repeat it. Three ones, and then 135 back. Let's try table number 6. And so it shows you how to get to 6, and then listen to that. And it's only in one position, so it's only 2. Finally, the information came out and was sent down to Umbulu in the river. And this is what Umbulu Herald received to publish. So it's sort of that authentic aspects to it. I don't know if you like it. Okay. Going through. Yeah. So perhaps saying that, perhaps I should put a sentence after saying that a teacher has sort of a new strand of understanding because they can sort of see the students and the understanding from together. A small number of students will be interested in steps to turn an analog sensor into a digital sensor. Step number 1, something happens. An environmental factor changes an electrical property of a device or component. 2, voltage changes. Electricity is provided to create a potential different signal volts to an output signal wire. Signal snapshot. 3, signal snapshot. The signal is put into a circuit that mirrors the signal when on, but freezes when off. I suppose control wire on off. It's called a sample and hold and provides a steady snapshot for the signal to work on. This is called an S/H level or device. It's an equivalent of think of a number, now remember it, and we will guess it. Okay, so this is hopefully a game. Digital model figured out. Another circuit goes to work guessing the S/H. What S/H stands for? Or sample and hold. I suppose I'm going to have to leave it. S-A-H is one way of writing it. It's S/H. With a succession of more precise questions. It is called the Successive Approximation Register, the S or S-A-R. Register in electronics means memory that is written during a writing phase and later read. Think of a register as a piece of paper in which key information is written down like a shopping list or homework. There are several key phases described here for a shopping list. Okay, as for a shopping list. Writing based on some process, like going through the cupboards at home, reading the list, say when the shop assistant asks what would you like, and finally erasing or rubbing out the list so you can write on it again. In the SAR, the writing is recorded in switches that are on and the erase step. Erase step all set to off. I should write that a bit better. Then it goes through a rapid cycle of internal writing onto each switch, one at a time, when reading all the switches, converting this signal to an analog output, digital to analog converter, DAC, and computing and comparing the DRC with the SH to decide what to write for the next switch. To write for the next switch down, really poorly expressed. This process runs until the SAR has finished and changes from reading state to the finished state. Modeling reported. So I'm nearly there, guys. The SAR receives a write to output command and reads its register, one register setting the data line high or low for typically 50 millionths of a second. Then the next unit until all the registers are sent out as one or zero pulse trains. For everything to be done in synchronism, the A to D requires a clock signal. Reset. The SARS is erased and the signal sampled. I call it sample and hold, set to sample. Okay, I think rather set to seal. I'll change that. Additional deeper detail describes the comparator as a high gain voltage difference amplifier with a negative input difference being amplified to a large negative value but limited to the electrons to 0 volts, and similarly a positive difference being amplified to a large positive value but limited to the electrons to the supply level potential difference. Okay, and then there's a picture of it here. So I've just got so much work, guys, to get through. Yeah, there's bits of stroke, there's bits of crap going on. Okay, so this is emerged from reading Astro Bob. In 1987, in a clean-out of Adelaide University's physical laboratories, I threw out a valve-based analog-to-digital converter built in the early 1970s. It was the size of a suitcase. Having had this experience, it gives a nowadays real perspective on units 100,000 times smaller sitting in the actual sensor. Rather than throwing out this experience, it may one day be possible for students to go on a virtual reality tour inside of an ADC. The key teaching points, okay, so you can see people can say, oh, he did this, all these mezzanines that he put in there, and then moving it, so just like Astro Bomb, not as good as Astro Bomb. The key teaching point here is that the signal you are interested in can be mixed with noise and gets weaker over distances and obstacles. It can have echoes from such things. Seemingly insignificant as a fingerprint on a plug. So, indeed, I was measuring nano amps, or less than that, pico amps, right? And to do that, I had to get all my connections ultrasonically cleaned. Sometimes a cable would just be noisy, you know? You just go through cables, that's just a noisy one to get across. Small signal levels over any distance were not an option and had to be boosted before being sent. Digital takes many snapshots of sufficient rate to make a moving, and these snapshots are spelt out SNAPSHOT, one letter or one slant, 1 bit at a time. Unlike reading digital signals are only binary decisions have to be made. Is it a one or not? It is necessarily a more involved process up front and takes a sequence of steps, not like watching Fred Astaire do a tap dance. Imagine the time it took when in 1987 it was explained to me that it could be done so quickly as to digitize a human voice. 10,000 hertz, a high pitch, means 100,000 digitized points per second. I should have been forgiven for saying that it would be 100 years before Joe Fictitious would call up his mates on a telecom phone and it would be live digitization. I think you could say two things. One, I was wrong by a factor of 10, and two, some of the conversations in 1987 were incredibly boring. The important teaching point is the amount of active electronics used to make a complex task of the analog realm manageable in the digital realm. Okay, that's the end of that. I'll have to keep on just slaving away. Gee, I'll go in, fix that. You can see that I'm slowly moving up, and there's various people listening to it, perhaps Michael and others going forward. I'll see how it goes.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.